This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QUEERFAM for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
Love is love. If you don't have to make a family, but taking a traditional ride. If he's not above the risk of talk, you would say.
Hello, 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 all. It is Jamie coming at you solo because I wanted to just let you know a couple things. We are releasing some bonus content through July. Our original plan was just to finish out season 9 at the end of June and take a little hiatus until we hit season 10 really hard in September. But Ian and I have been having so much fun. We just couldn't. We couldn't leave you hanging that long, and we wanted to record some more stuff. So we are going to have bonus content coming to you all through the month of July. So make sure you keep checking back in to see the fun stuff we have in store for you. And we are kicking off our first bonus episode with the live show taping that we did for NYC Pride on June 24th with the fabulous Trevi Moran. A lot of you were not able to make it to the live taping, which I understand. It was in the middle of the day on a beautiful Thursday, but it's here now. We want you to hear it. We are so excited. We had so much fun. And so we're bringing it to your ears right here, right now. But before we do that, I have to let you all know the People's Choice Podcast Award voting has officially started. So what we need you all to do, and you know the deal, if you've been listening for a while, what we need you all to do is go to thepodcastawards.com, register, and nominate If These Ovaries Could Talk, the Queer Families podcast in the LGBTQ Feast of Fools category. We need to win this award for the third time. Let's do it. We can't do it without you guys. We really need you to really pull your support. Tell your friends, tell your parents, tell everybody you know, even if they've never even listened to this podcast, to go and vote for If These Ovaries Could Talk, the Queer Families podcast, because we want to win this award. Okay. All right. That's it. That's all I'm going to yammer on about right now. I'm going to have Helen roll this tape, and you're going to be able to hear our live show taping with the beautiful Trevi Moran. Helen, roll the tape, please. She's really being nice to me lately.
Hello, everybody. I'm Romaine Patterson. I am a radio host, a podcast host, and I am the owner of DNR Studios, one of the places where you can hear if these ovaries could talk. Now, I have been a fan of this podcast for quite some time. I'm also in a heated competition with them over something called the Podcast Awards. We go back and forth winning them. Sometimes my show wins. Sometimes If These Ovaries Could Talk wins. It's irritating. But I love this show. And so much that I said, why don't you guys come join us over at DNR Studios and let's make some more queer content for all of the audience and all the people out there. And they said, oh, okay, sure. You know, enemies make good friends. Anyway, I am thrilled that they are doing this live broadcast for you here at New York City Pride. They are amazing. You will learn a lot. And I think you're going to be thoroughly entertained by the host. So without hesitation, I'm going to introduce the hosts of If These Ovaries Could Talk. We have Jamie Kelton and E. Bradshaw. And let me get it started with a little bit of music if I can make the tech on her computer work.
I am a lesbian.
Black queer human being.
We are two gay dads.
I am a transgender man.
Trans woman.
Bisexual, non-binary, single parent by choice.
Can I ever have nice things? I just want nice things.
He just got spit up on.
There we go. That's our song. That's our new theme song. So just to let you all know, if you don't know already, we are the Queer Families Podcast. We interview folks about how they made or are making their LGBTQ families. Do you want to add anything to that, E?
I mean, no. That's what we do. We're queer. We're here. And we talk about our lives, and we interview people to talk about their lives and their process of coming out, of transitioning, of going in deep into their soul to figure out. I don't know. I'm riffing right
going
now
because
I thought
deep.
You were going to jump in.
Yeah, well, here I am. Okay. Here I am for you. So, yeah, so we talk with different families every week. It's a weekly podcast about their families.
Right.
And what you all don't know or might not know is we recently went through a huge transition, and kind of the theme of our show today is transitions.
Yeah.
Because we just went through a really big transition.
Because if you put your hand on someone, it gives them a sense of security and safety, and they will continue.
I'm feeling real safe. I'm feeling real safe.
Okay.
Well, so my former co-host, I used to do this with another host, Robin Hopkins, has recently left, and E has come in. So the podcast is in a huge transition, and in the name of inclusion and making this podcast even more inclusive of our very beautiful, diverse LGBTQIA plus rainbow
what
of a community.
What she's basically saying is that Robin was white and I am not. And I'm sorry.
Robin was a white. A Wahite lesbian
You're
mother.
You're not supposed to say this stuff out loud. I'm telling you,
we're
Wahite.
Not supposed to say that.
I'm not supposed to well, say Wahite.
But I can say it, right?
I said it.
So Robin, Robin is a Wahite lesbian mother, as am I a Wahite lesbian mother.
Just
and
Wahite.
So when Robin left, I thought, well, you know what? We need more
non-Wahite.
Not just non-Wahite, but we need not just another lesbian mom. Right?
Right.
And so, you know, I searched the world and I found E.
In the greatest state.
Oh, God.
Of New Jersey. Now, hey, big up for Jersey. Okay. Come on now, this is through.
Really a thing.
So I was
this
born and raised
really
in Newark, one of the best cities in New Jersey.
Woo, Newark.
This is California right here.
This is what happens when
the West Coast comes east.
It's the best.
They trying to knock us.
West Coast is the best coast. Oh. I shouldn't say that because
it's going to fall into the ocean.
All right, but we're not here to talk about states.
I know we're talking about transitions.
We are.
You went through a transition.
I sure did.
Your ex, right? We're going to put it in frame it like a relationship. Your ex.
We're going to do that.
And you.
Yes.
Had a decision.
But we're not in a relationship. Never were. Have to clarify that. Yes, go ahead.
Make that face. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to make a face. Like, okay. You're hot and cute.
Yes, thank you.
That's not what this is about. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's just my water bottle. But you were with someone, and it stopped working out, as relationships do, all kinds of relationships. And then you wanted something different. You wanted more.
Yes, yes. And in walks
and,
E.
And, well, no, actually, our lovely agent, Alex Robles.
Over there.
Who is our relationship agent.
Yes, yes.
He said, I have an idea.
A great idea.
A great idea.
And it works.
He said, I'm going to hook you two up. Mm-hmm. Just have a conversation. Maybe it'll work. And it worked.
It worked. It works magnificently. And we're having a great time.
Yeah.
We're having a really great time. I like you too, E.
That's great.
I like you too. Thanks. And I identify as a lesbian.
I identify as they, them, non-binary.
Yeah. Tell them the cool thing about you. Well, there's a lot of cool things. Well, you're 47 years.
What about it?
That you just recently
came out?
Yes.
Oh, I'm still coming out as non-binary because people are identifying me by my beautiful face. And thank you. Thank
yes,
you. And I don't feel in here like what I know people may see. So I'm always getting mammed, which is horrible, honey. Mm. And I'm always getting ladied. And the girl thing, girl to me is like an all-inclusive, right? Everybody's
like
girl, honey.
Yeah,
like it's our word in our community.
We can take that. We can take that.
We
can
totally take that.
We can take that.
But it's real interesting to be transitioning since I was 46.
46 when it started.
When it struck, because I didn't know I could. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know that when, you know, Val Dorsey gave birth to this baby, that they just stuck a label on me. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter what I was when I was a kid. I was a complete I wasn't boy or girl. Mm-hmm. I wasn't boy or girl. I never felt like boy or girl. So once I learned about this non-binary stuff, I lost my mind. Mm-hmm. I was like, what? Why they keep this shit a secret? Why didn't tell me in school? But now you can't say gay. What the fuck is that?
Well, yeah, we're working on that. We say gay.
We have
shirts that say we say gay. We say gay. We say gay all day. Also proud parent.
I don't have gay on my shirt.
That's okay.
But I have lots
You're
of rainbows.
You're a walking living legend of gay.
I've decided I'm an icon.
Yeah, let's go there. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's be icons.
Yeah, why not?
Who gets to decide who's an icon?
I don't know.
Aha.
I don't know.
I have deemed us. Right now, this is important. Take your phones out, y'all. This is important.
Oh, Lord.
E and Jamie and our wonderful, exciting special guest. We are icons.
Icons. Icons, icons.
We need a song.
Strike a pose. There's nothing to it.
I'm not really a dancer.
So anyway, in the name of transitions and why we're here for Pride, to be with you all, we're so excited to be at NYC Pride, the convention, to just bring our stories to you even more. And so I think what we need to do is bring in our very special guest who is here today to talk with us about her story, Trevi Moran.
Trevi
Come
Moran,
on up here, Trevi.
Put your hands together. Woo, woo. Wait.
You know, I don't think you have to press anything, E.
There were applause. Nope.
Don't press anything.
Thank
Romaine
you,
is here,
great.
Our sound technician.
Hello.
Hi, Trevi.
Is this working?
Yeah. Can you hear Trevi?
Hello.
Hi, Trevi. So, Trevi.
What?
Trevi, you are a YouTube sensation, singer, music video icon in your own right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Snaps for Trevi.
Snap it up.
So, but Trevi, what I didn't tell you about our little podcast is whenever we have a guest on, we have them give a 30-second elevator pitch of who they are and why they're here. So I haven't given you any time to prepare. Are you ready for this, Trevi?
Yeah.
I think you got this down.
You
I really
the timer?
Do. I'm getting the timer.
All right, I'm going to count us in.
Wait.
All
That's
right.
a calculator, so we don't want that. We want the timer.
Shall I do un, deux, trois?
Whatever you want.
Uno, dos, tres.
Oh my goodness.
Ein, zwei, drei.
Okay, let's count us in.
Yeah,
are you ready, Trevi?
No, that's all I know though.
All right, here we go.
It's how to count to three.
Ready?
Okay. Un, deux, trois. Action!
Hello, everyone. My name is Trevi Moran. I started off on YouTube about 12 years ago. I've been posting still to this day, and I've kind of... See, that takes a few seconds.
You get like three more seconds. You get like four, five.
But I've shared my journey online about, you know, I first in 2015 came out as gay, which I like obviously knew was like a big fat fucking lie. And then finally in 2020, I probably about a whole decade on YouTube, I finally just like let it all hang and I just let everyone know the truth. And it's a beautiful thing to kind of grow up in an era of having the internet, because there's just like this overpour of support. But obviously it's very different as well, because the hate comments are very, very wild. But I'm here. I sing. I try to make people laugh. I share my journey on the internet. And right now I'm with these lovely people. Wow. I don't know if that was
that good. Was, you know what? I turned the little clock away because you were doing so beautifully. Yeah. You did go over 30 seconds, Trevi,
sure,
but we're
going
to give it to you. That's okay. Everybody does. That's fine.
I'm like,
and we never cut you off.
www.wikipedia.org/TreviMoran.
Yes, yes. And you should all go look up Trevi, because Trevi, I've been watching your videos and I love your music videos. I love what you do. Your talent is immense. But what you also do, which I think is just beautiful, is you have been so open and honest about your journey.
Right.
And you're fun. And you're so fun to watch.
Hey, and thank you.
Beautiful. I don't want to sound like a weirdo, but I was like, oh my God. Oops. When Alex said, you know, what was up and up, I went internet stalking, because that's what you do.
Right. That's why I'm there.
I mean, gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
Can I tell you all a little secret? So
oh, no.
When I
don't know. When I get
when
real
I told
when
E, I was like,
secrets.
I talked to Trevi, it's gonna be so good. I told Trevi we're gonna be like, because we are literally old enough to be your mother, your parents. And I told E, I said, we're gonna be like
if
mama
I had
hens.
Game,
we're gonna be like your mama hens, blah blah blah. And E,
I'm not a mama hen.
E was like, oh no, no, no.
No,
that's not what I'm here
no.
for. And I was like, take it easy, E. Take it easy.
So First of all, I got to say this. I think it's okay to say to a beautiful woman, you're a beautiful woman.
You are.
And then you're a beautiful tall woman. And that just takes it over the edge. And then you're a beautiful redhead woman who sings. Come now.
Like, I'll leave. I can leave.
No, I want you to stay.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing.
I mean, it just might be like a little overwhelming for you. Yeah.
I mean, I ain't been out of the house a lot in the past couple of years.
We can't take the gorgeousness.
All right. I have some meds in my backpack for anxiety if you get a little
really? I just smoke weed and I can't even get down with the pills.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, Trevi, it is a pleasure. I will be like your mama hen and I will save you from E. I'm
Wait
kidding. There's no saving.
I am
There's
full no ass saving. Married. I'm just flirtatious.
Yes, I know. And it's good.
And
everybody
it's
deserves to be flirting.
I am honored.
So, Trevi, can you take us back to, I don't know if any of you saw the video on X Factor when Trevi first made her debut. Can you take us, that was the bombest, cutest thing I've ever seen. You were 12 years old.
You broke the internet with that.
Yeah, I was like 12 or 13.
13.
You know what's so funny? I don't really like remember it. Like, I don't really remember that whole experience. A lot of my childhood, like I've recently realized in therapy, I'm like,
you don't
fully
remember.
Forgot it.
Why do you think? Why?
I just think that a lot of crazy shit in my life has happened, but also a lot of, I did not grow up like very average. I've been in, you know, the digital space and in entertainment industry for a very long time, since a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that there's just so many things and my brain just, I guess, didn't register them as core memories.
Yeah. Right.
But from what I do remember, and the great thing though, is that because I did do all of this media and stuff, like I can always go relive it
mm-hmm.
if right. I do forget it. So like, so for instance, the X Factor audition, I haven't seen it in four ever.
So
I recently watched it.
You were so good.
Oh, thank you. Well, so they don't really tell you how it actually is when you go on a reality singing show. I've been doing these videos online where I was kind of like goofy, but like I really wanted this to be my moment where I was like taken seriously as a singer. And they were basically like, absolutely the fuck not. You're singing I'm Sexy and I Know It. And I'm like, how in the world?
You're 13.
First of all, I'm 13.
Yeah.
And you want me to sing I'm Sexy and I Know It, the song that shows off the minimal amount of vocal skills for anyone who would attempt to sing it.
You added some singing in there, though. I heard you. Yeah. I heard you.
So I said, how am I going to make them happy, me happy, and the audience happy? So I went to my vocal coach, and I basically did like a Broadway theatrical spin on Sexy and I Know It by LMFAO. And the rest is herstory.
There was a lot of dancing. There was a lot of confident dance moves going on there. You went for it.
I really did cringe when I recently watched it. I was like, why did you, what are you moving your body? You're 13.
You had the audience up in an uproar. Like they were like, they did not know what hit them.
Are you still that confident?
I think so. I do think that over the years, people and experiences can definitely tear you down and you're not like a child. Like I was 100% fucking fearless back then. I would say I'm pretty fearless now, but just through life, you know, you become a little bit more reserved, unfortunately, but I'm doing what I can to stay the best version of me.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Good for you. I love that.
Thanks.
So take it to, so then you're famous and you're like doing all this stuff and then you decide to come out in the public.
Which time?
The first time. Come out as gay.
Right.
What was that? Can you walk us through that and how it was? Because we've come out, but I didn't come out in front of the public. I didn't even tell anybody I was gay. I just let people figure it out because I had a girlfriend.
It wasn't that big of a deal because I've always presented extremely feminine with my body language. Whether I was wearing boys' clothes or not, I've always been very, even just, you know, the way of my voice or just the way I sit. I posted it. It did well. I got like a few million views, but then all the comments were like, no shit, bitch.
Nobody care?
I mean, nobody, they're like, we knew it was something.
Right.
But like, congrats on telling us. Like, no one was shocked at all.
Did you get hate?
Of course I got hate. Yeah.
It comes
with the territory. And it's like, it would probably hurt me or at least disappoint me if that was said to me in person. But this is, most of the comments that I still get to this day or the DMs that I get to this day, it's someone hiding behind like a faceless account. It's like, grow some balls, bitch. Come on. FaceTime me. Yeah. Tell it to my face. Mm-hmm. I don't care anymore. Like people that I work with and people in my family are like, you need to turn off your comments. Like, I'm like, no.
Oh, you read them?
Sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten some hate. We have gotten some hate, and it shocks me to the core sometimes.
Yeah,
It's hard for
me. I didn't even know we got hate.
Oh, we get some hate.
Is there a way not to read it?
You can filter out specific words.
But we're not as big as Trevor. We don't get that many comments, so I'd like our comments to show up.
No. They're very, very entertaining sometimes and humorous. So yeah. I keep them on. I don't filter them out.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You're
tough. And if it's on YouTube, the more comments I get, the more money I get. So keep talking shit.
Oh, my God. And you just let them go.
Yeah.
Just let them go. Do you ever clap back?
What?
Do you ever clap back at them?
Oh, when I was like 12.
Oh.
I'd be like, you motherfucker. You don't even know half of me who I am. Me at 23 now, I'm like, okay.
23 on the 23rd.
Oh. Is it the 23rd?
It is the 23rd.
Wow.
This is a special day for you.
Synchronicity. 23 on the 23rd of Pride Month.
This is the best day.
The 22nd year, because the next year is
2023. Oh my God.
I literally never listened to me again.
No, that was amazing. You are now E's best friend.
Because my life path number is 9, so I pay attention to these things. So if you... That's right. Everyone.
I don't even know what that means.
9. It's the last one. Numbers make sense to me in weird ways, not in the ways of like math, but in the way of astrology, numerology.
Okay. I don't know any of it. Do you know a lot about that, Trevi?
I think mine is like a 3.
Okay.
But I'm divisible of 9.
Oh, there you,
you
go.
You are divisible of 9.
So
I like the number 7.
Yeah, I am quite literally the root of you.
Yep. There, whoa.
Oh my God.
Whoa. We just got.
Wow. That was really deep.
I mean, does it count?
You just got rooted.
I just got rooted. Damn. I will let you root me. I mean, that doesn't sound right. I mean, yes, oh, I got God. Rooted, but I didn't mean it that way. You know what the hard part about being out in the world in a social space, especially
discrimination?
Well, yeah. Well,
there's that. Yes.
You'll make me tired. It's that I want to watch my mouth, but I'm so bad at watching my mouth. So I just say shit out my mouth.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And
as
I,
you do.
And I don't want to stop doing that.
Right.
I don't
think you should.
Well, I think as long as it's not racist, homophobic, or...
Never intentional.
Or hateful, or to make anyone uncomfortable, and at least intentionally.
Right.
You rock on.
Keep running your mouth.
Yes. Yeah.
Who
yes.
do I want to make uncomfortable? Is there someone you would like to make uncomfortable?
Wait, yes.
Oh. Oh,
No, we don't have to.
There's definitely some specific people I'd like to make uncomfortable.
Okay.
But my favorite thing is just ghosting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
The ghosting.
They're just uncomfortable with themselves.
Mm.
Because when they're just like talking to a brick wall, it's like they're going crazy.
Just ghosting.
Yeah.
Okay. That's some sage advice from Trevi.
Sometimes we throw silence and not words.
Mm. I'm working on that.
Lots of deep things are being said.
Take that one to the publishers.
Yes. That's going to be your soundbite for your episode.
Yeah.
Right there. So take us. Okay. So you come out. There's a lot of love. And then take us through your next transition. It's a lot of transitions.
I mean, 5 years passed in between that time where a lot of shit went down.
Like what?
So... I was actually intending on transitioning in 2017, just 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then something within my personal life happened where I kind of became very traumatized and reserved. Don't you give me feedback.
No feedback.
Okay. Yeah, I became very traumatized and reserved and very... abusive to alcohol, and I kind of was not letting myself experience life the way that I really wanted to. So from like 2017 to 2019, I was completely shoving any of these thoughts in the back of my mind of like actually just, you know, putting my foot down and getting myself on hormones and transitioning. So I was just partying so much, working so much, and just exhausting myself. And hello. Okay. And exhausting myself so much to the point where basically in 2020, I just burned out. And I went to a rehabilitation center and I'm hating this. Is it me? Am I too close?
It's not you.
Is it me? Am
it's
I the drama?
It's not you. It's us.
And then in 2020, I basically had more of a clear mind and got myself together and came out on the internet one last time.
Yeah. Yeah. And how was that? How was
that
response?
One was more massive. That was way bigger than the I'm gay one.
Yeah.
Like the trans one was, I mean, it was on the news, like on most news stations and most, like we did the Variety articles, the New York Times and all this crazy shit. I'm like, I didn't realize that like,
so
this
they
is that
came
big
to
of an
you?
Important thing.
You made a video.
I made a video and then I posted it. And then like a few hours later, like I was trending on Twitter.
Whoa.
And then like all these people were like, texting me, be like, bitch, you're going viral. And I'm like, again? No, I'm like, I just can't stop.
But was it scary for you? I feel like I would be so scared.
Well, so that one was definitely a little bit more difficult because I feel like, well, not I feel like, I fully fucking know that that gay is
people are more used to that now. People are definitely still getting more used to trans people. Mm-hmm. And that comment section was just like wild.
Like,
with, I mean, 90% love, right? Mm-hmm. But the 10% of like whatever the opposite end of that spectrum, like it was intense. Like I'm getting Bible verses and
how so many
I'm going
verses.
To hell and I'm have this mental condition. And then it was just like not even like throwing like psychology or religion at me. It was just straight up like kill yourself. And I was like, okay, cool. That's great. You must be a really sad individual.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah, no. But, and then I thought basically everything was going to be downhill from there. And because like I got the big weight off my chest. I got on hormones, did the damn thing, started filming for a docuseries that has not come out yet because we still have a lot of work to do as far as like what we want to film and where we're going to put it. But there hasn't been ever like a docuseries where someone has started from the very beginning, from the decision. I've seen a lot of great shows with trans people, but I think that what makes mine pretty special is that you start from the very first like decision to the first doctor's appointment to then like one day you go and you watch me freeze my DNA before I basically become infertile, which I probably am now. I haven't gotten my levels tested, but I froze everything. So if I want to have kids in the future,
there you go.
You know,
super smart.
This is the Queer Families Podcast. That was going to be a question, Trevi.
So they, like 200 something million of my friends are in a freezer.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, so if I decide to, they're there. They're waiting for me. But that's basically what the whole docuseries is about, just kind of each step-by-step process that isn't really publicized. So I'm very, very excited to release that eventually, but it's definitely going to take some time. And then I didn't really realize how intense hormones can be.
Oh, really?
It was right. Like, because so many, when you look online and you see trans people talking about their experiences, it's mostly them talking about the physical experiences. And there's some people that touch on the mental as well, but I was not, like me, who's very susceptible to depression and anxiety and, you know, addiction, all that stuff. It flipped me up on my ass. I was like going through it for like a year.
Ooh.
With the whole, you know, conversion, I guess is what I called it, of like out with the old and in with the new. So then obviously I relapsed again on drinking because I really was just so, I couldn't even handle it. I was in so much mental pain.
Mm. I got to tell you, that's the thing that scares me the most because I'm already on a cocktail for my mental health care.
Oh, me too.
And
yeah.
Everything I read about taking tea is going to accelerate or could possibly heighten things in me that right. I don't, that I'm working not to heighten.
Yeah. And, yeah. And look, medically transitioning is fully not for everyone.
Right.
Right.
You know, I don't really have to do that if I don't want to. That doesn't really diminish who I think I am as a person or who I know I am.
Oh, you
as
know
a
you are. Yeah.
I think I'm a woman. But
don't you wish people would just mind their fucking business?
That would be nice.
Like yeah. If we all just minded the business in our own little homes, right? In
worry
our own little
yourself.
Selves.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to worrying about other people and what people have and don't have, want to get, like, mind your business should be the theme.
I love that, and I would love that, but I also desperately need attention.
I have to tell you, you're not alone on that. I like attention, guys.
I'm gathering that we are loving this, like, push and pull. Like, no, stop. Pay attention to me. No, stop. Look
no.
at me.
And Jamie's like, no, wait
don't
a minute,
make
bitches.
Me sing. Don't make me sing. But so talk us through, like, when you decide to transition and you start meeting with doctors, and what is the mental health help side of that? Does it exist?
Yeah. Well,
or do there
I mean,
changes
we know
need
that,
to be made?
That, you know, medical care in America is a little
Wah, wah. There's the sound. That's the sound.
It's very expensive to get like the slightest relief. How did you do that? Yeah,
it's fantastic. It's magic.
I'm so excited.
If it's magic.
Yeah. So when you if you're about to give me a look and I'll give you the
okay
because I think I have laughter.
Right.
That was our live audience. That was literally our live audience laughing.
You guys sound so cute. Anyway, so I began taking the hormones in June of 2020. And yeah, it was just a wild ride. Like I said, it was kind of painful, but it was also really beautiful. And then I got myself clean again in August of 2021. I'm coming up on a year now.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yes.
I know. It like really stuck with me this time because I switched my administration route. I checked with my doctors. I got my blood done every 3 months. And I was like, oh my God, that's what the doctors are there for. It's like I actually don't feel like shit for once. It's so
great. Oh, God. Yeah,
but
that'd be nice.
Then I also realized it was a circumstance of where I was living. I've been living in Los Angeles most of my life. And what they say, or what I've heard recently is people in LA are nice but not kind. And people in New York are kind but not nice.
Ooh. I agree
with that.
Soak
that one in. I like it because from my experience, yeah. I kind of think that it's true. Hmm. I don't need everyone to be looking at me and like fake smiling and waving.
Right.
You don't have to.
Mind your business.
You don't
mind
have to be
business.
Doing that to
Nobody
me.
Nobody looks at you in New York.
Because I just know you're going to go home and talk shit. Like, I like that everyone kind of just minds their business here. And if you know someone, you love them. And that's pretty much.
And you love them out loud. Like, yeah, that's absolutely. One of the things about this area.
Totally.
And I feel such an affinity for you just because you're so open. You know what I mean? Some people you click with, some people you don't. We clicked immediately because there's the authenticity. That's what when I'm on your page, I'm like, yo, she just put that shit out there. She just said that shit out her mouth.
Really
and
did.
I respect that so greatly because it's a fearlessness that is not something you're born with or learn. It's just something you have or you don't have. And I didn't know that.
Oh.
I didn't know that. You
I
either
think
have,
you
it,
have it.
No, oh. no, I know I have oh, yeah. it. But I'm saying I didn't know everybody I didn't know everybody didn't have it.
No, not everybody has it.
It took me a long time to figure that out.
And I think it's something that our community could really stand to have. We need a nice touch of fearlessness because when we go out into the world, we're just different.
Yeah. And that's why we need people like us to inspire and motivate and
to get
do what we
to
can
never leave people
to
alone
our people
absolutely can I rewind a second
so
you had the thought to take your friends and put them in the freezer in case you wanted to use them,
not my like actual friends, I mean like as in like,
what do we call it?
DNA?
DNA.
Yeah, like my sperm cells, but I'm just gonna say that once because it's just I don't really like saying it, but my DNA is in a freezer, like 250 million, like little Trevies.
Wow.
Just fully like icicling.
Yeah, ready. Is it something you think you might want in the future?
See, I go back and forth. Like, I would love to have a family, but then, like, also when someone shows me a picture of their baby, I'm like, oh my God, I don't care.
You know what? I was the same exact way.
I do care. Like, I care.
But you don't.
I care, but I don't fucking care.
But you don't, yeah.
But this is this is something I want to hone in on because this is a theme that comes up in our podcast all the time. The fact that we have to be so goddamn intentional from the get-go with our family building. You had to make the decision before transitioning, should I do this? That's already one step ahead of any non-queer person.
So you could go 20 years and decide, okay, now is the moment.
Because you started planning at the age of 22, you know, whatever the age, right?
That's amazing.
And that's what we do. We have so many decisions that we have to make to build our families.
Yeah.
That the rest of thems out there don't, right? Yeah.
And it's especially a longer and crazier journey for queer people to make this thing manifest into reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
I don't know why. I just find like puppies and cats a little bit more cute. But I love like the idea that like a child is going to grow up to be an its own individual. Like that part, love it.
That's the hard part.
And it's okay just to like your own.
Because that's when they're able
Right. You know, most people, there are a lot of people who are not kid people. Mm-hmm. I work with kids, but I don't want to take any of them home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the one I have at home, that's my dude. That's why I'm like, you know, if there's another one that comes in, okay, great. But I already got this amazing human and I didn't know love before. I partied my ass off. I waited until I was 36 years old, partied my ass off. But then there's this human and you're like, I'm happy I did that. That was a good idea because, you know, and somebody got to take care of me when I'm old.
And it wasn't easy. Getting to the point of parenthood was not an easy road.
It's not an easy road for me. I don't think. Well, except if you're just, you know.
Some folks can just bone. Is that the term? And then
I feel like I make babies when I bone, though.
Well, you know what? That's what I always say. If making babies was based on the level of sex you had, I think us queers would have a lot of babies out in the fucking world. That's what I think. That's what I think. Yes, I see that now.
I would have had at least seven. How many do you think you would have had at this point?
I'm surprisingly very, like, not sexually active.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm just really picky.
That's good. I understand that. That's good.
I know. And every time I tell someone, like, I can count on my hand how many, like, separate people I've.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You're young still.
Yeah. As much as I would love to have like a hoe phase, I just don't have it in me.
It's not necessary.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
It isn't.
Everybody to each their own. We all do our own things.
Yeah, but you know what else is inspiring? I've been consistently drinking this pandemic and paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. And so it inspires me that you've been fearless about talking about that journey too.
Yeah.
And that you've done it more than once. You know what I mean?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this was probably like my fifth stab at it.
Yeah.
And then I guess every other time I was doing it because someone was mad at me or because I was doing it for a work thing or because I was doing it for my mom. And like the most recent time I was just like looking in the mirror and I was like, this isn't fun. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And then like when that's, you know, I know this is completely off topic, but like this goes for like anyone with addictive behavior or who is an addict, it's you can try to help them get help, but no one's gonna do it but them. Mm-hmm. They have to. There has to be this like realization, or else it could work for months, years, mm-hmm. you know. But they'll always like they have to do it for them. We have to do it.
We
for
have
ourselves.
To do it. Yeah, because if you
to,
Google,
we have to help ourselves
about drinks. Because I did a Google. I went to Google because I figured, well, how do you know if you're an alcoholic or if you are drinking too much? And Google says you can have one drink every single day. And that's average American drinking. And that fucked me up a little bit because that gave me all kinds of permissions. I was like, well, shit, yeah. I can make one drink and that can be a triple or a double. And so it's hard to, it's hard. You've been through some stuff and you're doing it. And that's amazing.
It's a transition. It's a process. It's a
I know. It's a lot of things have been transitioning all simultaneously, my gender, where I live, my sobriety, a lot of transitions happening at once, but
that's life.
So
that's
many transitions,
and you get used to them.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I'm pretty used to this city now. It's been 7 months I've lived here now.
Okay, yeah. So you choose New York over LA
right now?
Right now,
yeah.
Good answer.
I just like it because I am far away from people who made me, who brought out the worst in me, I guess. Mm-hmm. And right. It's fun to change it up. I was born and raised in California, so.
Yeah, gotta change it up sometimes.
Change it up.
Well, it has been an absolute honor talking with
Wonderful.
You, Trevi. And thank you. I'm thanking you on America's behalf for being so open and honest. Aww. And you know, sharing your transitions with the world, because transitions are hard.
Yeah.
They're hard. And here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
And of course.
This has been awesome.
Yeah.
And thank you all for coming.
Thank you so much.
And give it up for Romaine.
Romaine.
Hey. Transitioning
Trevi.
Out.
Yeah. Alex.
Eggs, ovaries, out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, X ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.